Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
I want you to know that it's, everybody say abnormal. Abnormal is when things that are supposed to be normal is sort of like not normal. Let me tell you, it is abnormal for supernatural beings. That's us. Do you have Jesus living inside you? You're a supernatural being. It's abnormal for a supernatural being not to believe in the supernatural. That's abnormal. So we have got to believe in the supernatural. Amen. How many of you have been standing on the promises? There's a promise. There is a not. Well, you know, it's easy to say I'm standing on the promises. It's really easy. But think, I'm standing on a promise. If you have a promise that you're standing on, raise your hand. Matter of fact, stand up. Told you you needed to stand up again. I want you to turn and tell one person. Don't tell them a story. Tell them one thing that you're standing on a promise. Tell them the promise of God that you're standing on. Go ahead and tell them real quickly. Just do that. That's your confession. It may be health, it may be healing, it may be finances, it may be your children, it may be your marriage, it may be your job, it may be just anything like that. By the way, we have Greg with us today. He's filling in for Robbie. So just welcome him. He's from another church, and thank you so much. All right, you may be seated. If you hadn't told him yet, that's too bad. Time's up. Amen, amen, amen. Well, Brother William just did not have enough time last week to finish his message, and he's got such a wonderful message. And I'm afraid if I don't let him go ahead and finish it, the next time he gives and takes up the offering, we may get it then. No, he wouldn't do that, but I'm messing with Brother William, just come on up, and let's welcome him and let him finish telling us what God has been doing with his life. Amen? God bless you.
Appreciate that, brother. Don't mess up. Thank God for you. Praise God. Well, God is so good. Well, I'll tell you, I'm about to change that. Got a call yesterday, and I said, well, God is good. He said, no, Mr. Logan, God is great, you know. Yeah, God is great and greatly
to be praised.
Amen, amen. Greatly to be praised. Well, it's good to be here this morning, and I tell you what, I could just go on and on with the introduction for his visitors. Thank God for my family, that brother, and Jerry, and Adrian, Jackie, and Angela. Thank God. I got a text that you wouldn't be here this morning. Angela, did you send me a text this morning? Somebody said you was going to New Zion this morning. I put the text there. But you're here this morning. We thank God for you this morning. Well, I thank God for our pastors, Pastor Terry and Pastor Brenda. Amen. Pastor John. But I tell you what, I was thinking about you this morning, Brenda and Pastor Terry. Old song, I'm not going to sing, trust me. It says, it's your time. You have encouraged others. When you need to be encouraged yourself, it's your time. You know. And I tell you what, I don't know about you, but I'm going to play that for you one of these days, man. It's your time. I mean, because they carry a burden because they have counseled Brenda and I, my son Darren, you know, over and I don't know how many more. And see, that's the burden when you're carrying something somebody else is going through. And so I just want to tell you this morning, I thank God for you this morning. Thank God for the godly counseling. The Word of God said there's safety in the multitude of godly counseling. He said, I'll put out your counseling, you know, but it's not godly counseling. So I just thank God for being here this morning. He's so good to me. And Pastor Terry, you and I must be on the same page because I was thinking the same thing. That you was thinking that I may give take the offering up and I start preaching, you know. And so we was on the same page, you know. Yeah. 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 Well, I tell you what, last Sunday I did feel kind of rushed because I am mindful of time. I don't want you to stay here no longer than, you know, I mean, if God is in it, you know, it's okay, you know. But if God's not in it, you know, we need to go ahead and just, you know. And so I just thank God for the opportunity to share again. And when he asked me the other day, I said, I kind of laughed about it. I thought he was joking me. But he said, no, I'm serious. You know. And I said, I want you to share again this Sunday morning. And finish that message up. Well, there's so much on my heart this morning. I woke up this morning, about 2 o'clock. Remember that old song we used to sing, all that you've done, I would thank you. And all that you're going to do, all that you promise, what's the other words? And all that you are. Yeah. All that you have carried me through. Jesus, I thank you. I thank you. I don't know about you this morning, but I thank God for all that he has carried me through. And last Sunday morning, I'm not going to go back to that entire message, you know, but last Sunday morning, I may have sounded like I was the good guy, but God reminded me, you know, have anybody read the word for the day? Attitudes, you know, God said, listen, your attitude was not good. When I went to that service that night, I said what I said. But it wasn't what I said, it's the way I said what I said, you know. And so sometimes it's the way we say what we say, you know. And so God just reminded me, you know, you need to be careful how you say certain things. Because I felt so much love from people in this county. I mean, you would not believe the people just showered me with love because they was concerned. But it wasn't just the incident that happened, you know. It was the love of God through people. And I don't know, God, I feel like a child this morning, just like a little. I went back to Ruff Elementary School, Jerry, and we had an auditorium. And people would come in the kids would come in on Wednesday morning, and they would have devotion like on Wednesday morning in school back then. And Miss McFarland would get up and she start singing, "This land is your land, this land is my land, from California to New York Island, from the Gulf Stream water to the Redwood Forest, this land was made for you and me." And boy, I just love to get out of class, you know, just to get in the auditorium. But you know, she didn't stop there. She would go on to sing what Brother John said this morning. It is no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he'll do for you. With arms wide open, he'll pardon you, you know. And that's what God would do, you know. And I tell you what, I told Pastor Terry the other day, I feel like a light has come on in my heart. A light has come on. Russell, if you will, flip those verses, and we're going to read just a little bit. And we're not going to stand before you long this morning. We're just going to share a little bit what's on our heart. I'm so glad to see you all here this morning. Hey, I mean, everybody, it's just so glad to see you. It's raining outside. You could have said, no, I'm not going today because it's raining out there. But you had that perseverance faith. You had that tenacious type spirit. I'm going on, you know. The psalmist said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I tell you what, Eric, God is what on the what? God is on the move. Hey, I don't know if some of you have doubts about that, but trust me, God is on the move. I was talking to the guys at prison this morning, and those guys have formed a prayer circle, and Sanchez told me last week that they've been meeting after dinner, and about 30 guys have get in a circle. They began to intercede and pray, praying for the staff, the officers, praying for the other inmates. So God is on the what? See, I don't know about you, but I feel the presence of the Lord here. He's already here this morning. He's just here this morning. Yes. Yes, he's here. Look at your neighbor and say, won't he do it? Look at your neighbor on the other side and say, won't he do it? Won't he do it? Won't he do it? Won't he do it? Yes, he will. Praise God. I tell you what, he's lighting the place up. You know? Yeah, he's lighting the place up. The place that you trod upon, God just lighten it up. Because we are doing what? We are loving God, loving people, and just walking out, lighting it up, making a difference. Everywhere we go, we're making a difference. It's because, you see, that ING, it's not just love God. A man said years ago, he said, doing the counseling, he said, have you told your wife that you love her? He said, yeah, I told her when I first got married. And if I change my mind, I'll let her know, you know. Yeah, but you see, it's not just love God. It's loving God, loving people, and making a difference, you know. And so we got to keep on going with that. He said, if you continue in my word, then you're my what? Disciple indeed. Russell, let's read together. Finally, one mind, having compassion one for another, love as brothers, be tenderhearted, be courteous. But on the contrary, amen. Say good days. His lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. And the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Amen. That's 1 Peter 3 and 12. We're going to do one more. Brother Russell, I tell you, I thank God for the media team there. Amen. Give them a hand. Praise God. Praise God for the sound, man. Randy, thank God for you too. Let's read this right here together. But he may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same suffering are experiencing by him. But may the God of all grace, who called us to eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be all glory, dominion, and forever and ever. Amen. Lord, we thank you for this time together this morning. And I ask this morning, God, that you let me share just a few moments. Let my speech be seasoned with much grace this morning, God. Have your way this morning, God. Let me just speak a rhema word to hearts here this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We want to stay in that same vein that we was in last Sunday. Restoration. I heard a song by the Whining said, "The restoration has finally come. I have been restored back to my place in God." He said, "What would I know about being restored if I never lost my place? And what would I know about mercy if I hadn't gotten out of grace?" Restoration. And so that's what God did in my situation. He restored me back to the prison. And that was a blessing because, you see, for the last 3 years, I've been going to a meeting every second Wednesday morning. And it was kind of awkward being in the meeting because I was a chaplain, but now I'm sitting in the meetings for the chaplain and the 096 prison chaplaincy committee. And, you know, the flesh is something else. Do anybody have a flesh to deal with? Yeah. Yeah. It's something else. I didn't really want to be there. You know, but you see, I was going because that's just who I am. I was going out of my being, not out of my doing. Because you see, a lot of people do things out of just to be doing things, but I was going out of my being. Some people told me, said, I would not go back to that prison anymore. But they didn't know. They don't know my calling. That's what I was called to do, you know. And I was wondering one time, you know, should I go back, you know? It's like they're against you over here. But they was not against me. There was a spiritual war going on. The word of God said we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against what? Powers and principalities and rulers of who? Of the darkness. Go ahead. Amen. Spiritual wickedness in high places. That's what we're dealing with. It's not against flesh and blood, you know. And so I try to encourage the churches, don't stop. Don't stop what you're doing because of what's going on here. And you know what? I thank God I didn't quit. Because I could have stopped, you know, and said, you know, I would not be there now. Because they have fixed up things where you can't hardly really get in now. I mean, at all, unless you got a doctor's degree. The last chaplain that left there, he had a doctor's degree, you know. And he got it fixed up where, you know, like, you can't even have an assistant chaplain now. But, you know, I'm not criticizing him. You know, I'm just, you know, kind of telling you what went on. But you got to have a doctor's degree just to be a chaplain now, part-time, you know. But see, God got a way of doing things. God got a way of doing things. He can turn things around. And so, therefore, I was reinstated. And see, that's all God. I can say it's all good, but I know better. It's all who?
God.
All God. Well, I tell you what. At the prison, I told Sanchez, don't give the preachers no water. Because those that's long-winded, you don't give them water. I'm serious. We got some coming here, and they start hanging, and they going to preach for a solid hour, sometime more, you know. So certain one, we don't give water to, you know. But we got plenty of water there, but we don't give water to everybody, you know. But, you know, church, I just feel the presence of the Lord here this morning. There's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place this morning. Russ Taft used to sing a song, "You're my brother, you're my what? So take me. Together we will work until he comes. There's no foe that can defeat us." When we what? When we're standing side by side, you know, when we're joined together, there's no foe that can defeat us. So Russell said, it don't matter what label you may wear. If you believe in Jesus, you belong with me. Don't matter what color you are or what denomination you are, but if you believe in Jesus, he said, you belong with me. I tell you what, Dr. King had a powerful message, you know. We don't want to rush over this month without mentioning Dr. King. Somebody put in the bulletin. Do anybody have one? I had one. Thank you, Pat. I've got to read this right here. It says, quote from Martin Luther King, Dr. King says, "The ultimate measure of a man is not where he stands in moments of comfort and convenience, but where he stands at times of challenges and controversies." You know, and Dr. King had the love of God. He said, you know, don't let no man pull you so low to make you hate. And he said, like, it was told about when he was just a young lad walking around the house with his Bible in his hand, singing, "Oh, how I long to be like him. So meek and lowly, so high and holy. Oh, how I long to be like him," you know. And say, I'm not criticizing Malcolm X and Stokely Carmichael and Rap Brown and all of them. But, you know, they couldn't figure out how in the world are you going to have a nonviolent movement, you know. Something violent has to take place. But you see, Dr. King understood his mission. He was on a mission. He was on an assignment, you know. And those guys couldn't figure him out. But I thank God that he just kept pursuing his mission. You know, he said, listen, he said, "I'm not fearing any man," you know. He was intimidated by any man. He said, "I'm not fearing any man." And I believe he was singing that song. It's just me now. No longer slave to fear. But I am a child of God. When you know who you are in Christ, you know, you're no longer a slave to fear. Fear does not intimidate you. You see, fear is torment, and fear brings a what? A snare, you know. Let me tell you something. I used to have so much fear of talking before people because I stuttered and stammered, you know. And it made me real nervous, you know. But it kind of reminded me when I first started driving in probably 15 and 14, I don't know why I wanted to drive so fast. I feel like I could hold it in the road better the faster I drive. Here I was with the drive instructor going toward Lake Lure. And I'm moving on because I feel like I could hold it better. And somehow I feel like that kind of spilled over to preaching, you know. You feel like you preach faster, you preach better, you know. You're on the road now, you know. But no, that's not true. That's not true. But I tell you, I just praise God for how good he is. He's so good. Let me tell you, a couple of stories I've heard. Most of you have heard them. He said that this lady, she was praying, you know, interceding. It kind of reminded me of the war room. She's old. She started praying, Lord, you know that I need food tonight. The cupboard's empty, and we need food in the house. And she just started praying, Lord, your word said that if I delight myself in you, you would give me desires of my heart. You said if I just commit my ways unto you, trust also in you, and you're going to bring me some food. And she just went on, just kept praying in the word, you know. She just kept praying. And all of a sudden, these two young boys came by, and they heard her praying, and they just started laughing, you know. look at her, you know. And they went to a grocery store, got two big bags of grocery, brought it back to the house, set it on the doorstep. And she came outside and looked over at the grocery, and she said, praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. And she was just praising the Lord, you know. And they started laughing. And said, went over to her and said, ma'am, said, Jesus didn't bring you that food. Said, we brought that food. She said, thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Said, the devil might have brought it, but the Lord sent it. Yeah. The devil might have brought it, but the Lord sent it. You know? Yeah. So, praise God. God is good. He's going to take care of us, church. In other words, whatever you're going through, God said, I got you, you know, don't worry about it. I got you. He said, behold, the fowl of the air. They don't sow, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, but your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are not ye much more precious than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? Yeah. I mean, you can't change nothing by worrying. You're not going to get any taller. Look how short I am. I'm not going to get any taller by worrying about it. This is it, you know. Yeah, this is it. Yes. But God is good. He's going to take care of you. Yeah. And this one last one. This old lady having a revival one night. Preacher was preaching his heart out. Brother John, he's on the road. Pastor, he's on the road. He's a preacher. Boy, line upon line and precept upon precept. He done took his coat off and wiped his sweat. And all of a sudden, you know, people just start leaving the church at night. This old lady came up to him and said, preacher, you are something else. And she went on back. Next night, church was half full, you know. But that old lady, I don't know why they always use old lady, but she just came up and said, preacher, you are something else. The next night, it was only 8 people. Don't start out packed in like it is this morning. And that feels kind of strange. You come in Sunday morning and you got half your people, and the next night you got only 8 people, you know. And he said, if that lady do that same thing again, I'm going to ask her, what does she mean by that? Start out with a church full, then a half full, and now only 8 people. But she's faithful. She came up and said, Sonny, you are something else. He said, ma'am, what do you mean I'm something else? He said, well, you're definitely not a preacher. You must be something else. Yeah. Yeah. So you're definitely not a preacher. Yeah, see, some are called and some are sent. And some just got up and went, you know. Somebody said, you sound like a preacher, you know. You sound like a preacher. You know, they was never anointed, you know. But see, God is got anointed people going about now. Lighten the place up. At Lifestyle, I was talking to Mickey Waters the other day. He said, you know what? He said, I wish my son would be on fire like Eric is. You know, he lighten the place up. He don't even know it, you know. Mike going to county jail, lighten the place up. You know, we're going to the enemy's camp and taking back what he stole from us. There's a shifting, and I believe, as Dr. Cobb said, it's going to blow our mind. Seeing things we never seen. And she said, come on and blow my mind. Blow my mind, God. I believe God's going to blow our mind these last days. We're going to be saying, Pat, we have never seen it on this fashion before. I believe that Ronnie sitting back there is going to be one of your great ministers at the center there. God is raising up people in these last days, you know. He's raising them up. I thought about Marvin LeBoyne, Pastor Terry, this morning. And Marvin came here, stayed with us the whole year. Then all of a sudden, he was gone home, you know. But you know what? He felt the love of God here. See, people here, I'm not saying they're not doing now, but they was loving God, loving people. Didn't care where Marvin had been. They just got out of prison. They just loved on Marvin. Marvin, I seen him at the altar just crying, broken before God, you know. And then he went home. So I want to say this morning, you know, Let us evangelize. You see, he that wins soul is wise. And he that shines in the firmament of the heaven shall turn many to righteous. You're going to turn people around, not even know it. Somebody's going to say, you know what? What church you go to? But I'm glad you asked, you know. They're going to see something different about you. You're not fussing. You're not arguing about this and that, you know. You know, that's what the word we just read a few minutes ago. You know, be tenderhearted. Be humble of spirit. Humble spirit. Have a humble spirit. And that's what God wants us to have. So he can exalt us and win in due time. So getting ready. Look at your neighbor and say, get ready. We're going to see something we've never seen. Brother John, will you tell the ushers to get some more chairs to put in ours? Yeah, tell them to get some more chairs because we're getting ready. You know, we're expecting. We're expecting great things. Amen. Give the Lord a hand. We're expecting great things. Amen. Praise God. I don't know about you, but it's our time now. You know, I don't know what caused it not to be our time, but it's our time now. So I don't say 4 months and then come the harvest. God is saying, just step on out. Step on out now. Step on out. The last thing I'm going to leave with you this morning is drive your stakes down deep. Enlarge your tent. Strengthen your cords because we're getting ready for the overflow. Seeing things like we've never seen. People don't want to go home after service. Just broken and crying before God because God is here. You see, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And that's this morning, I feel the liberty of God because the Spirit of God is here. And you know what? You are pulling something out of me this morning, whether you realize it or not. You are pulling something out of me. And the deep is calling to the deep. You're pulling something out of me this morning. You know what? I didn't have a message, but I want to share from my heart this morning. But because you pulled something out of me this morning, I feel the presence of the Lord. So if you're here this morning and your dispensation, a period of time, a trial is over now. That section of your life, what you've been going through, God told me to tell you last Sunday, it's over now. See, that was a period of my life. I know there are going to be other things in life, you know, but for that season, that dispensation time, that trial is over. Amen. I'm not, you know what? Glory be to God. They gave me the keys to the prison now. I can go in there, go in the prison, leave when I get ready, you know. But if it wasn't for God's grace, as the D.M. Moody once said, there go I, you know. So I can leave when I get ready. And so I just thank God for what he's doing. But I believe we're seeing something we've never seen before. We're going to be seeing things we've never seen. Somebody's going to say, you know what, Brother John, Pastor Terry, we have never seen on this fashion before. But this is that. You just tell them, this is that. That's all you guys just say. This is that. Amen. Well, I'm going to move out of the way. Pastor Terry, it's in your hand now.
I'm messing with you. Amen. Isn't it good to know that you got men of God, women of God that can just really stand behind a pulpit and deliver from their heart the very things that God is doing in their lives and giving a message that glorifies him? Man, it's awesome. It really is. And we guard this pulpit. We really do. Our leadership guards it. And we just don't let anybody get behind here. And the reason being is because we're responsible for whoever we put here. So everybody that asks, I've had a lot of people out, you know, other ministers that would like to come and speak and all, and I will talk to them and say, well, that sounds good, and tell me about your ministry and all that. And then they say, well, a lot of times, you know, what we require is we require $5,000 to be able to come. And I say, well, you can go somewhere else. You know, I said, because, you know, if you require a certain amount, then you have to get that somewhere else. We'll give you a free will offering, but we're, you know, if you gotta come in, now I can imagine Jesus. I'll go to Nazareth, but it's gonna cost him about 200. No, you don't see Jesus doing that. Does that make sense? Plus, we want to know them. The Bible says, know them that labor among you. And I need to know them before they get right here. And I hope you appreciate that, you know, because it's a very holy place, and it's a place where you herald the word of God, you know, and sometimes sing. How many of you have ever been around Brother William during worship? The first time I was around him during worship, I'm saying, God, please give me the hearing that you hear when he sings. I love him, I do, but you don't want to be around him when he's singing. He's a good man. He had his throat operated on. He asked the doctor, he said, Doc, am I going to be able to sing when you get through? He said, well, could you sing before? He said, well, no. He said, well, you won't be able to sing after I'm finished either. He stays on key, and that key is off. I really pick on this man a lot, but I love him dearly. I really do. I think he halfway wants to sing every time he gets up. How many songs did he do today? Probably about 6 or 7. The man loves Jesus. He really does. Oh, it's good to be here. We'd like to take up an offering today, and it's actually for Out of the Ashes. It's a men's ministry that they help the homeless, and they also help guys that are battling with drugs and hardships. But we have some forms or the list back here at the Information Center. Please make sure you get one of those coffee filters, creamer, and so on and so forth, the things that they need. But an offering to be able to pay some of their expenses. We just dedicated this ministry January the 26th. And we've had already, five salvations? Eight salvations. Some more getting baptized next. All right, that's great. Praise God. You guys come on down. It's fertile ground. It really is. So just give as the Holy Spirit directs you. And make sure you give from your heart. Father, we just ask your blessings upon Out of the Ashes. Lord, there's so many needs, but I'm hearing your voice tell us you're going to meet all the needs. So, Father, in Jesus' name, we ask you to bless this offering. Expand it in such a way it's unbelievable. Bless these people that are doing this ministry, and bless the guys that are coming. And we ask you for breakthroughs in every one of their lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. While you're doing that, I've had several questions about the harp and bowl thing that we're doing on Wednesday night. Some people do not know exactly what that is. It's found, the harp and bowl is found in Revelation. It talks about Revelation 5:8. It says the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each one having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. That's a harp and bowl. And the harp is the musical part, the singing part, the musical part. The bowl is the prayer and the intercession that goes up. So it's seen in Revelation of its happening. And then off of that, the Lord says, or in the Bible, it says in Acts 15, the Gentiles were coming in, and it was bothering the Jews. You know, they can't come in. You know, they're not part of us. You know, but the prophet reminded them of this thing out of Amos, and it said this in Acts 15. It says, after these things, I will return, and I will rebuild the tabernacle of David. Say the tabernacle of David. It said, I will rebuild the tabernacle of David, which is fallen. And I will rebuild its ruins, and I will restore it in order that. Everybody say, in order that. There's a reason why the Lord wants to rebuild the tabernacle of David. In order that, listen to this, in order that the rest of mankind may seek the Lord. the rest of mankind may seek the Lord. And so the tabernacle, when you study the tabernacle of David, David's bringing the Ark of the Covenant into his city, and he's so overtaken by God's presence that he dances. So don't judge dancing. You know, if you ever start judging dancing before the Lord, you're going to be in trouble. You really are, because dancing is all the way through the scriptures. If you look for it, it's all the way through. When you're dancing before the Lord. But anyway, he dances and he puts the ark inside a tent in the backyard. Now, that wasn't the way he told Moses to do it. Moses was given directions by God to be able to set everything, the outer courts, the inner courts, and the Holy of Holies, and all the furniture, and the one-foot veil, a one-foot curtain that needed to be made for the Holy of Holies to be protected. David didn't do that. David bypassed that because David was a person prophetically who could see beyond where he currently was. He saw everybody being able to come to the presence of God without any of the other. He is already seeing that. So he put it in a tent with no furniture. He hired 4,000 musicians. He hired 4,000 people to watch the gates. And then the Bible says that the 4,000 musicians played instruments that David made. David was a worshiper and he was a warrior. That tabernacle that he set up lasted day and night, lasted 24/7 for 33 years, the lifespan of Jesus. There was a tabernacle of Moses. There was a temple of Solomon. Tabernacle of David is the one that God said, I'm going to restore on this earth. That's the one he's picked to restore. Why? Anybody could come in. And they came in praying. They came in praising. In that essence of the God's presence, they would give prayer, they would give praise, and they would give proclamation. Prayer, praise, proclamation. They would sing. When you look at the book of Psalms, those are songs that were, most of them, were written in the tabernacle of David. Because they had somebody recording what was being, they would sing to the Lord. They would sing their prayers. They would sing part of their prayers. They would say their prayers. So it was all blended with music. It was all blended with their voice of singing and their voice of praying and their voice of proclamation to be able to proclaim the goodness of God, to proclaim the things that God is doing. That's the thing that God said, I'm going to restore on this earth. So what's what we're doing on Wednesday night? We start at 6, have a small teaching, and then we'll start with, and Pastor Charlie comes with the music, and we probably need some more of the singers to come if they can. But we've already done it two Wednesdays. And already it has been extremely powerful. And do you know why? Isaiah says this. Do you know prayer meeting is the least attended meeting that a church can call? You know why? Because it's boring. Boring. Now, I'm just bold enough to say it. Most of you are saying, like, well, you know, I wouldn't have said that from the pulpit. But anyway. No, but... but least attended. Listen to what Isaiah says. Also the foreigners, listen to me, also the foreigners, which are the Gentiles, who join themselves to the Lord to minister to him and to love the name of the Lord, to be his servants, every one of them who keeps from profaning the Sabbath and holds fast to my covenant, even those, he's talking about the Gentiles, even those I will bring to my holy mountain. What he's saying, I will bring them into my presence. I will bring them into my presence. Listen to the next verse. And make them joyful in the house of prayer. He didn't say, and I'll make them joyful in the house. He said, I will make them joyful in the house of prayer. Y'all with me? How's it going to be joyful? Do it like David did it. I tell you, the both times we prayed about some heavy things last 2 weeks, but not a person that I know of, and we asked a lot of them, not a person that I know of left burdened. They left joyful. How can you be joyful and pray about heavy things? You know the one that you're praying to. Are you with me? So that's on Wednesday nights, and so make sure you plan to attend that, and you'll have a great time. Have we already taken an offering for out of the ashes? We've already done that. I was about to do that again. I'm gonna one last thing, Brother Darren. If you'll just come down here and stand, we did this last week, and some of you were not here last week, and I want to make sure that you have the opportunity to do this. This man is running for. He's wanting to run for the House of Representatives, I think District 112 in this county. And he loves God. He loves God, he loves people, and he wants to make a difference. He really does. Now, some of you may say, oh, he's going to get political. No, I'm not getting political. I'm just telling you this man loves God and he loves his country. Now, what he's doing today and what he's doing now for the next little bit is he needs signatures. He needs signatures. Your signature, if you are a registered voter in this county, if you're in Rutherford County, if you're in Polk County, don't sign because they won't count it, right? Rutherford County registered voters. That's who he needs 250. I think he has about 160, 157, somewhere in CERN, that category. So what you're doing, if you go and register and just go and sign, it's got a table on this side and got a table on that side. What you're doing is saying you're not endorsing. Do you hear me? You're not endorsing and you're not voting. You get to do that in 2020. This is saying, I believe he needs the opportunity to be a write-in 2020. That's all you're saying with your signature. I believe this man needs to have the opportunity to be a write-in this coming next election. So that's all you're doing is saying, I want him to have the ability to run. Because without that, he won't even be a candidate. Somebody said, well, you're endorsing a candidate. He's not even a candidate yet. He's not on the ballot. I'm not afraid of this. I'm really not. Now, if somebody wants to go call the government and make a phone call, I'll be glad to talk to them. I'm okay with it. You with me? So that's what I'm asking you to do. If you did it last week, then don't worry about it. Your name's already there. But if you didn't have the opportunity to do it last week, I'm giving you the opportunity this week and say, I believe Darren needs the opportunity to become a candidate as a write-in. Does everybody understand? Okay. God bless you, brother. Lord, bless him. Bless him. Let him be the leader he needs to be. Okay, stand to your feet. You guys hungry? Well, you should have ate breakfast. No, I'm messing with you. I'm messing with you. Listen, it's so good. It's so good to see you. How many visitors do we have? First-time visitors do we have today? God bless you. I see you. Anybody over here? God bless you. It's good to have you guys. If you guys will meet me at the table back at the back, I have a gift for you. I'd like to speak with you a second. But isn't that been great today? Isn't God's presence just wonderful? Just pretty awesome, isn't he? Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the delightfulness that we have to come before you with who we are in you, to walk on the paved way that Jesus made. And Lord, we give you glory. We give you honor. And we want to worship you far beyond what we know today. So speak to our hearts. Thank you for Brother William. Thank you for your restoration of his calling in the prison ministry. We thank you. We praise you for that. So bless everyone here today. May their lives be enriched by the presence of the Holy Spirit. May they come to know you in a deeper, deeper way. May their walk be such that people will ask questions about why we are so joyful. And Lord, we will be quick to give them you, because you are truly the reason. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Don't forget to sign if you're a registered voter in this county. God bless you guys. And Darren is back at the back if you want to speak to him a little bit.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org, or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.